Okay, today is Wednesday, February 8th, 12th day of the month of Shvat. This is the women's Chumash Shir. We're at the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel of Sefer Bereshit. Okay, Rabotai. We're up to Perek Yud Gimel. But before we begin that particular, the couple of psukim that introduces today's unit, just one he'ara on something that we said last week, which the Malbim suggests supporting Ibn Ezra against what I had suggested. If you remember correctly, the last pasuk of Perek Yud Bet states, Vayitzava alav paro anoshim, Vayishalchu oto ve'et ishto ve'et kol asher lo. So we read Ibn Ezra last week, who said Vayishalchu meant livui b'derech kavod. It was an honorable escort. That's what Ibn Ezra said. And I suggested at the time that I felt that the word Vayishalchu is a little harsher expression than just sent. That would be Vayishlechu. Vayishalchu could be an angry send-off, not an honorable one. So I came across the Malbim, and the Malbim, but he agrees with Ibn Ezra, and he brings some type of support for that particular idea. He writes, Vayishalchu, and if you take a look at the Targum, the Targum Onkelos writes in Pasuk Chaf, the Al Viyu, Livi, what? It means to escort. Escort is normally done in a respectable, honorable fashion. Lo Milashon Gerush. It does not mean, even though the word Vayishalchu could mean that he sent them away with a measure of anger. Here, it does not mean that. Kimo vayishalcheyu Hashem migan Eden. As the pasuk states at the beginning of Sefer Bereshit, that God sent Adam from Gan Eden. He sent Adam vayishalcheyu Hashem migan Eden. That's exactly it. That's, he says, lo milashon geirush. Kimo this one. Vayishalcheyu is Lashon Gerush. And in fact, Shahatargum Shelo Vishilche. There, Targum Onkelos writes, he sent him, connoting that God was annoyed at Adam, and he sent them out without any escort, certainly not an honorable escort. Ki achar ze, how does the Targum Onkelos know that here I should not interpret it the way Adler interpreted? How do I know that I should interpret it the way Ibn Ezra interpreted? And says Malbim, because it says right after, ki achar zeh katuv, in our unit, which we're going to read in a second, vayal Avram mimitzrayim, uchsiv ve'avram kaved me'od b'mikneh b'kesef u'b'zahav. Avram walked out of Mitzrayim loaded with cattle, gold, silver, and gold. Ve'ilu hayam bilashon gerush, if Avram was sent out of Mitzrayim detecting some degree of anger on Paro's part, lo hayam misaper hakatuv rov kvodo v'ashro. Why would the Torah suddenly tell us Avram is loaded up? Now, that's not the most compelling argument in the world. Let me finish what he says. Vizehu hasiba, and that is the reason why. Vizehu hasiba, shepiresh rashi tchilat milat kaved ma'od v'achakach vayaal Avram hanegba. That's why Rashi, in commenting on Perek Yud Gimel, explains Pasuk Bet before he does Pasuk Aleph. In Pasuk Bet, you have the phrase V'Avram Kaved Ma'od, and in Pasuk Aleph, V'Yal Avram. That's why Rashi explains Bet before Aleph. Now, in my printed Chumash, that's not the way it is. Rashi explains Aleph before he does Bet. But in Malvin's Chumash, does anybody have a Chumash where there is a comment on Kaved Ma'od before Vaya'al Avram? Anybody? No. But obviously the Malvin had such a Chumash in which the copy of Rashi's, and it does happen from time to time, where it appears from the text of Rashi that he is deliberately rearranging the order of how he explains things. There is a reason if he would do it. It just doesn't appear here. But he writes, why did Rashi switch it around? Kidei lehodia sheperish vayishalchu milashon leviya v'chavot. That's why he switched it around. To let you know that this send-off should be interpreted in light of the fact that v'Avram kaved ma'od. He had a lot of cattle, a lot of silver and gold, which he obviously got from Paro. Kacha Omer HaMalbin. Kacha Omer HaMalbin. Now, the argument, his primary argument is, that's why the Torah tells us the Avram Kaved Ma'od. There is a far more compelling reason why the Torah tells us the Avram Kaved Ma'od. Not to flash back to the previous unit, because it's going to set up the next unit. What's the next unit? The disagreement with Lot. And what caused the disagreement with Lot? As the text itself tells us. The land couldn't handle both of them who were loaded with cattle. They couldn't compete. So I know why the Torah tells us that Avram had particularly a lot of cattle. So you can't use that as your compelling argument why you want to prove that Vayishalchu means that he sent them away in an honorable fashion as opposed to an angry fashion. You can't use it because there's a more compelling reason. But okay, just want to, you know, that's what the Malbim says. You have to know it because the Malbim said it. It's on the test. Okay. Let's read the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, get a little feel of what's happening, and elaborate. This is a very significant unit. Vaya'al Avram Mitzrayim, hu v'ishto v'chol ashelo, v'lot imo hanegba. Avram leaves Mitzrayim, goes up from Mitzrayim, he, his wife, and everything they possessed, and Lot traveled with them. The Avram kaved ma'od. Avram had a heavy load. Bamikne, bakesef, bazaha. Vayelech lemasa'av. I'm just translating it loosely. And he went in as per his travels. Whatever that means. Obviously, it's going to be need some salt and pepper. Minegev, from the Negev ad Beit El. An hamakom asher haya sham aholo batchila. He returned back to the place to where he had pitched his tent before he left Mitzrayim. He left to Mitzrayim. Where was that? The Torah told us. Bein Beit El u'bein ha'ai, between Ai and Beit El. Torah tells us that, black and blue. El mikom ha'mizbeach asher asa sham barishona. He went specifically to the location where he built his mizbeach. Vayikra Sham Avram b'shem Hashem, and Avram there proclaimed the name of God at that location. V'gam l'Lot haholechet Avram hayatzonu bakar v'olim, and Lot who traveled with Avram, there were lots of sheep, cattle, and tents. V'lo nasa otam haaretz l'shevet yachdav ki hayaruchu sham rav v'lo yachlu l'shevet yachdav, and the land could not satisfy both of their needs because they both had lots of cattle. There was insufficient grazing land for both of them. Stop right there. So, as we always do, let us begin with Rashi. Rashi says, Vaya'al Avram Hanegva, Lavo lidroma shel Eretz Yisrael, to go to the southern part of Israel, because that's the place where he left. We were told this previously, where it said, Haloch v'nasoa hanegba. Avram began to travel to the south from his location in Beit El. Well, now he's going to retrace his steps. He's going back into the Negev and then proceeding northbound to Beit El and Ai. Specifically, he says, Lahar HaMoriah. Lahar HaMoriah. Right? No great chidushim of Rashi at this particular time. But where he does come up with something creative is his next comment on the Rashi in Pasuk Gimel, Vayelech Lemasaav, says Rashi, Kishechazar mi Mitzrayim le'eretz Kenaan, Hayaholech velan be'achsaniyot shelan behem behalichato le'Mitzrayim. He went back to the exact same Motel 6 that he went on the way to Mitzrayim. Limdecha derech haaretz, this teaches us something that is appropriate. Shelo yishane adam ho'achsanya shelo. Don't change your hotel. Now, we can operate on the assumption that the people who granted him housing didn't charge him. Didn't charge him. And as a result, you have hakaras hakarim. You demonstrate that, you know what? Not thank you, and I'm going to come back. Thank you. You treated me so nicely. I'll come back here as well.
I'm going to come back again so you treat me nicely again?
Yeah.
Isn't that assuming that somebody's going to leave you again?
Okay. So therefore, some will say that he paid, but they treated him nicely. We've all been to locations where we've paid an arm and a leg and have not been treated that nicely. Right? So it happens. So he was treated nicely. You know what? I'm going back. And I'm going to reward them. That's one pshat. The second pshat certainly believes that he was charged, but he didn't have any money to pay. So he was granted credit. On the way back, he made sure to stop off at all of his locations and pay back. Davar acher, b'chazarato para hakafotav. He paid off all of his debts. Hakafas milva is to establish a debt. Right? He paid by credit card, in other words. So now he's going to pay off the credit card. Fine. Now, here, before I continue with Rashi, here there are several mifarshim who disagree with Rashi. This is, of course, it's an interesting interpretation, but it may not be necessarily the pshat. So if you take, for example, page 3 for a moment. Take a look at Ibn Ezra on the left-hand side on page 3. Ve'avram kaved me'od. Sheyesh lo kvuda rabba. Ibn Ezra interprets it simply that Ve'avram kaved me'od is a very unusual phrase. It means that literally, you know what it means? Avram was very heavy. That's what it literally means. So Ibn Ezra says, that's absurd. Why would the Torah tell us this? So therefore he interprets, in effect, the simple pshat. What does kaved mean here? Kaved, kvuda rabba. He had amassed an enormous material wealth. How? Bamikne bakesef ubazahav. Umi sheyeshlo kain, anybody who is blessed with enormous wealth, particularly if it's animals, tenu ato kveda. Travel is difficult. When you're having a big camp, travel is difficult. So, because you can't move everybody very quickly. Everybody knows that two people can travel much more quickly than 50,000 people together. So what will then, what would you expect Vayelech L'masa'av to mean in a simple pshat form? What do you think Ibn Ezra is going to say without looking at it? How do you anticipate Ibn Ezra's simple pshat of Vayelech L'masa'av in the next pasuk?
Easier.
No, what does it mean? Vayelech L'masa'av. He had lots of stops. Why were there lots of stops? Because he had to move very slowly. You don't travel at night. So when you're only making, when you're not covering a lot of ground during the day, it's going to force you into stopping 60,000 times. So the Torah tells us, Vayelech L'masa'av. He had to travel extremely slowly. And that's what he writes in the next comment in L'masa'av. L'masa'av, Shinasa Masa'im Rabim. He had to make lots of stops. Why? Because Va'avram Kaved Ma'o. That's a simple pshat. And you don't have to entertain the way Rashi did. You don't have to answer what Rashi did, that he went exactly to the same locations because he wanted to pay back his debt or he wanted to express gratitude. You don't have to say that. And then Sfarno builds upon Ibn Ezra, take a look at the right-hand side of the page, and said that this was a little troubling to Avram, that he had to have a very leisurely pace. He was troubled by it. Why? Let's read it inside. Pasuk bet, ve'avram kaved ba'od b'mikneh, ve'hutzrach lehit nahel le'ito. And he had to what? Operate slowly. Does anybody remember who else said, I have a big crowd, ve'ani es nahala le'iti? Who said that? Yantala, to whom? To his brother Esav. Exactly. Ani esnahala leiti leregel hamilacha. I got a big family, got lots of flock. I can't rush like you. I can't. So this is something very typical, very simple. But why did it bother him? Afal pi shahaya chafetz lashuv mehera el mekom hamizbeach lehavin ulahorot barishona. What Avram wanted to do is get back to his job, like we all like to do, get back to our job as quickly as possible. What is our job? Proclaiming the name of God. That's why he wants to get back to the Mizbeah, because Ibn Ezra and Sfarno did not believe, as we pointed out at the time, that anybody offered any sacrifices on these Mizbeah. Doesn't say he offered a sacrifice, just said he built a Mizbeah. What was the Mizbeah? The altar, the platform upon which he stood and gave his lectures. He attracted a crowd by standing, and that's exactly what he wanted to do. But due to the fact that there was so much cattle, he could not travel at a rapid pace, and that's what the Torah is reporting there. That's what the Torah is reporting. Yes?
How did love get so much?
We're going to see that in 2 seconds. Legis Arani Keshele. Lot is the next, is the primary focus of this unit. I'm just setting it up. Very good question. Very, yes?
Why does this even bother you?
Why does what bother
me?
Because what is it adding to our understanding? Vayelech L'masa.
He went back the way he came?
No, that's what Rashi says. But why is that so important? Why is that important information for us that he went back the same way?
And at that time, there were 5 different choices of inns that he could have.
Of course,
okay, so that's like
100%. Go to site that you say for all hotels? Zhivago.com.
Trivago.
Trivago. Trivago.com. There it is. You'll see all the prices and so on and so forth.
So it's significant why he chose to go back to the one.
Yes.
There is some significance other than Hakaras Hatov to the people.
Right.
You're going down and making all these steps. Now you're going Aliyah, and you're stopping each place, some place saying, thank you, Kadosh Baruch. I'm moving to the next back to my ultimate goal, which he says here is Har Moriah. But places, you made it, you have to go down, you have to make all those steps to go down to the strength.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're returning, and you just have to say,
okay.
And this is where Hashem appeared to him in the past, promised him that he would have Eretz Canaan.
Yeah, that was in Beit El.
So, yes, that's why he wanted to go back.
Correct, but the question is, did he have to stop? Well, not all along the way he stopped. God didn't appear to him those times. Yeah.
Does he use the word Masa'af when they go back, when the Israel go up? Is it
Masa'af? You beat me. Thank you. Excellent.
That's perfect.
I wanted to suggest, you just got it. There is a pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Masay. That's why it's called Parshas Masay. Because it starts, Eile Masay B'nei Yisrael. These are the stops, the travels of B'nai, from the time they left Mitzrayim until where they get to the Yarden. The Ramban had told us that every piece of information that the Torah records about the Avot is going to signal what's going to happen to the children. So why does the Torah have to tell me Vaya'al Avram Mitzrayima? Because B'nai Yisrael are going to be Olim Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Why does the Torah tell me that Avram left Kaved B'mikneh B'kesef U'Bazahav? Because Am Yisrael, how were promised V'achareichen Yetzu B'Rechush Gadol. And this is a prophetic message that the travel from wherever they are to Eretz Yisrael is not going to be a quick one.
Well, they want a
circuit. Okay, that's correct. Now, in Parshat Bahalotcha, it says that it's only a 3-day travel from Sinai into Israel. And yet it took them 40 years. Why? Whatever it was, the Meraglim, the Meimarim, whatever it is, whatever caused it. But Vayelech Lemasa'av, just as Avram has to make many stops along the way, Am Yisrael eventually are going to have to make many stops along the way. That's exactly what happened. And in Parshat Maaseh, the Torah elaborates and tells us, you know, how what the route was. You know, we have some of it in this week's Parsha already. They go to, after they crossed the Yam Suf, they went to Marah, then to Elim, then to Midbar Sin. All of that is recaptured in Parshat Maaseh, from the beginning of the Parsha till Shlishi. In fact, we read it a little differently. There's a little different melody that we read the Masa'ot. A good Balkari knows that. But that's another possibility. Vayelech l'masa'ah. You know what the information is telling me? It's giving me a hint that Am Yisrael will have to make many stops along the way till they get to Medinat Yisrael. Yeah.
About the word Kvuda, I owe you a big thank you for serving this also within Israel. The word Kvuda appears, I happen to see it all the time in the airport in Israel. When you come, it says Isuf Kvuda in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And the word Kvuda is never used in Israel, not in spoken or an Israeli. I never heard the word Kvuda except in the airport.
Really?
Because the usual word is Mizvadot, Mitan.
Right. Your baggage collection is Isuf Kvuda.
Yes, exactly. But no Israeli
uses
the word Kvuda. And I was wondering all the time,
where'd they get it from?
In the airport, where is it from? And it's here.
Excellent. And when it's Vayelech L'masa'am, when you're traveling. Excellent. Good. Next time you get off in Lud, in the airport, make that announcement. Go to the information desk. Ratziti lahasbir lachem lama katuv kan yisuf kvuda. That's all. Yes.
What does the word love mean?
I don't know. I don't know. I know what lahorot means. Right. I don't know what lehavim contributes to. Don't understand.
To get visions,
I don't know. Normally it means to comprehend, yes, to understand. Right. I have no clue what he's suggesting. That's your task. Okay. Good. Please look at. Go back now to page 2 for a second. And there the Ramban says something which is a little startling, but the Ramban says it, we got to learn it. That's correct. V'tam hu v'ishto v'chola shelo, says the Ramban. Why does the Torah have to tell us he went with his wife and everything they owned? Who? Obviously they went with that which they owned. Obviously, says the Ramban. Lehodia, to teach us, shelo gazlu mimenu davar mikol hamatanot hagdolot shenatnu lo ba'avur sara shetihiye lemelech. Because they did not ask for backsies. Give back all of the gifts that we gave to you because we thought Sarah was going to be Paro's wife. V'lo amru, and they did not say, Rimitanu, you duped us. Because you told us she was your sister and she turned out to be your wife. Umatana bita'ut hi. And it's a gift that was given on the false pretenses. V'zeh ma'aseh nes. The Rambam doesn't use those words lightly. Zeh ma'aseh nes. This is nothing short of a miracle that the Egyptians did not turn around to Avram and say, give everything back. It would have been perfectly logical, perfectly normal to do so. You duped us, hey, I'm not giving you a nickel back. Hence, the Torah emphasizes the chalash elo. It is still his, rightfully his. Because if they had a shemetz of a thought, and here's where the Ramban probably believes, if they believed for a second that what? That it should be given back, then what would Avram have to do? He would have to return it on his own. Otherwise, he would be a thief. The recipient would be a thief. And I'll give you a simple halachic analogy. There is a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, which tells us that gamblers are disqualified as witnesses. Anybody who is a gambler is automatically disqualified to be a witness. There are several explanations that are offered. It typically means somebody who's a professional gambler, who does this for a living. Doesn't mean a guy who goes once in a while to bets on the Super Bowl that it's going to end up in a tie and go into overtime and that the Patriots are going to win that game. That's not going to happen. Because if you did, you want a lot of money. It means a guy's a professional. But one of the explanations is that every gamble, by definition, touches upon gezel. And the halachic terminology for it is called asmachta. Aleph, samach. Mem, chaf, tof, aleph. Asmachta. Asmachta means in halachic categories where the halacha has made an assumption that the giver of that money, despite the fact that he gave it to you of his free will, really doesn't want to give it to you. The halacha has made that judgment. And as a result, when you take the money, you're a thief. Because the person is not really giving it out of full volition and free will on that person's part. When I take your money because I sell you this tape recorder, I take the money, you give me the money willingly because you're getting something in return. Whenever you get something in return, you give the money willingly. If I lend you money, I am giving it, I understand. I know I'm going to get it back. I want to be a nice guy. I'll lend you the money. But there is nobody on this planet who puts down a bet thinking that they're going to lose. Nobody on this planet expects to lose. So the expectation when you put a bet, Chazal say, is you think you're going to win. Now you know that you have to part with your money because you made the bet. But as you open up your wallet and take out the $20 that you just lost, it's echoed there. it's killing you. It's ripping you apart. Because I never thought I was going to lose. Never. Therefore, Chazal believed that the gambler who wins is perhaps involved in theft. And once you are in theft, once you're theft, you are declared by halacha for witness purposes as a rasha. And the Torah tells us that an aid rasha, aid chamas, there's not allowed to be an aid chamas, a witness who engages in any type of thievery. So therefore, gambling should be avoided for that reason alone. Gambling should be involved. It's a very difficult expert because the halacha is reading into us. Is reading into us, and yes, it makes some sense. Nobody goes ahead. Just one second. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, "Are you allowed to buy a lotto ticket?" So Rav Moshe said, "You're allowed to." Why? Because nobody buys a lotto ticket with any reasonable expectation that you're going to win. The odds are so stacked against you that when you give the dollar or $2 for Powerball to this guy, to the store guy, you know the chances are you're not going to win. So you're giving the money willingly. Willingly. And that's why it's not gzela. You're not facilitating gezel. And it doesn't touch upon asmachta. Doesn't touch upon asmachta. I think I told you what Rabbi Shaul said about New York Lotto.
No.
Okay. In New York, you get two chances, two games for a dollar. Not like in New Jersey. A dollar is only one game. So Rabbi Moshe said you should play the same numbers both games. Because he said like this. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to win, he doesn't need the extra chance of the other numbers. He can get you on that. And if there are multiple winners, you get two chances. You get two slices of the pie by getting both sets of numbers because you have two winning numbers. That's what Moshe. Cup. So next time you go to New York, tell the guy, both games the same numbers. I don't think the machine will let you do that. Probably won't.
So a Jew wouldn't be allowed to own a casino.
What?
He would be a gazelle. A Jew couldn't own a casino.
That is correct. He'd be an arch-gazlan.
So
a casino.
Owns a casino.
Who?
Adelson.
Okay. Okay. What can I tell you? Yeah.
Did Abraham do the wrong thing? The Egyptians gave it to him, but he shouldn't have taken it because it was under false.
Okay. So the Ramban addressed that. Why did he not? Why did he just say, "I don't want it"? He was afraid. If the king gives you something, you don't disrespect the king by saying, "I'm not interested in your gift." The man said, simply, pachad mimenu. Pachad mimenu. Yeah. Yes. That's what I just said.
Well, you said it?
I just said that, yeah. It's okay. No problem. No problem. Okay. Now, the next focus is to introduce Lot into this picture. Lot into this picture. If you look at, I want you to compare for a second, chapter 12, verse 5, versus chapter 13, verse 1. Flashback to Perek Yudbet, Pasuk A, where Lot is introduced into the picture, and the description here of Lot. Description is, what word has been changed? What word has been changed? Correct. Emo and Ito. In chapter 12, verse 5, Vayelech Ito Lot. And here it says, Velot Emo Hanegba. So Rav Shamshon Lefar Hirsch, many comment on the difference between the two. The Rav once suggested the following. He said initially, when Lot is accompanying Avram on his trek from Haran originally, Lot was enormously impressed with Avram. Enormously. In fact, one could have said that Lot is his first student, his first success job. Lot is his nephew, and he decides, out of, no one told Lot to come, he went with him. And Ito means Ito, not only physically, but in spirit as well. After having spent time in Mitzrayim, things changed drastically. Things changed drastically. First of all, earlier, do we ever find a text that tells us that Lot's possessions were kept separately? No. He's traveling together with Avram. One happy family. Suddenly what happens here? They're separate camps. Avram's got his. Lot's got his. And now they're competing for the available grass. Here is the challenge for American Jewry. For American Jewry. We all know this. You come to a country which is, at the time, Mitzrayim, the most technologically sophisticated and developed country in the world. You are enamored with their culture, despite the fact that they have an abundance of immoral and unethical behavior. That doesn't seem to bother you. But what happens? What happens? You're enamored, you're impressed. And Lot, unfortunately, couldn't resist the temptation. And at that particular time, Lot makes a decision, I am separating from Avram. I'm no longer interested in his value system. I'm going to part company from him. I'm going to travel with him for convenience sake now. And hence, what is the Torah's shift? It's not Vayelech Ito, but Imo. As many have said, Shamshon first many times, that Imo, Am, just means a physical presence, together with you, but not a spiritual identity together with you. So Lot switches, yes.
And also in the event it says Ben Achi, so that he was more closely here, just as...
Excellent! Yes, there the emphasis that he's a family member. Here... No, the Loti Mohanegba. Yes.
Also, Vayikach and Aholet. Vayikach, Avram physically took him. He was responsible for him. He took him. Aholet, it sounds like more like on his own is going with.
Okay. Okay. I hear. I hear. Now, Abarbanel doesn't like what I just said. So, take a look at page 4 for a minute. So the finance ministers of Spain, Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, was a very creative commentary on Tanakh. He's one of the two people who have made major contributions to Tanakh, and we have no evidence of their knowledge of Torah Shebaal Peh. Him and Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra never commented on a Gemara in his life. Every other major commentary and minor commentary on the Chumash also made contributions in Torah Shebaal Peh. Rashi, the Ramban, Tosfos, the Rashbam, Chizkuni, Sfar, we all know that we know their remark, their works. Ibn Ezra and Abarbanel, absolutely not. And sometimes it almost borders on ignorance, I want to say it, Ibn Ezra's lack of awareness of how the Gemara interpret a particular pasuk, and he decides he's right according to the pshat. The Gemara interprets it differently, not reading it according to the pshat. But you should at least acknowledge that the rabbis disagree with me, because he says things which are anti-halacha, based on what we've understood. But anyhow, Abarbanel's the other one. And he writes, Vihine, Omar, Vaya'al Avram mi Mitzrayim, hu v'ishto v'loti mohanegba. Lahagid shvacho shelot. Why does the Torah tell me this? I want to praise Lot.
Why?
Ki ka, I want to praise Lot. Ki ka'asher shav Avraham baderech, asher holach ba, b'nei chamat hametzik, ba'avur ishto, as Avram was returning on the route, having gone through a difficult confrontation involving his wife, ubihiyot lot panui, as Lot was a freebie. He was a single guy. He could have gone any place. Umibli isha, not married. The hara'av al pnei kol ha'aretz, and there was enormous famine where? In Eretz Canaan. Hine Lot lo ratza lehisha'er b'Mitzrayim. He could have volunteered, you know what? Avram, have a good day. I'm not schlepping back with you with this whole massive cattle business. I'm not going back to a place where we came, where there was an enormous famine. We have no idea that the famine was over. No whatsoever. In fact, the Barbanel is implying that it certainly did not end. But Avram had no choice. He had to leave Mitzrayim. Why? Because Paro told him to get lost. He had no option of remaining there. Lot had an option. Could have stayed in Mitzrayim where there was plenty of food available. And nonetheless, he decided to go. Avol biroto Avraham holech, when he saw Avram pick himself up and leave, halach gamhu bechevrato, ki bachar lehistovev, he chose to be surrounded or affected by Bitzilo, in the shade, the shadow of Avram, Bara'av, in famine, Ubatzama, terribly thirsty, as opposed to Milashevet, Bilto, Be'eretz Sve'a. Rather than staying alone in Mitzrayim, even though Mitzrayim was the land of the boundary, I'd rather do that. And as a result, the Torah emphasizes velot imo hanegba. Hence, claims Abarbanel, the reference here to Lot is described to offer praise unto Avram. Yeah, unto Lot. Yes, unto Lot.
My assumption is that the Mitzrayim wanted to get rid of anybody who had anything to do with Avram.
I hear you. I agree with you. I agree with you. That is a real supposition on his part that Lot had the option of remaining in Mitzrayim. That's a big question mark.
He would have had nothing in Mitzrayim.
What?
He would have had food, but he wouldn't have had everything.
Okay, but he maybe he could have had him opened up a business. I don't know. No idea. Could open up an OTB office. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. So that's his perspective. That's his perspective. And the Rav, who just painted the picture that I said, said one thing that happened though, even though Lot rejected Avram, his daughters did not. Lot's daughters. Ultimately, what comes out of Lot's daughters? David Amela, Messianic Kingdom. And many have raised the question, what was there in the seed of Lot to be responsible for the beginnings of the embryonic stages of the Messianic Kingdom of David HaMelech? A little difficult. And you have to assume that their character traits, independent of their father, perhaps merited it. Perhaps merited it. Yeah. Because no one is critical of them. Very few, we'll learn that episode in a couple of years. Nobody is terribly critical of the fact that they, you know,
well, they
gave their father to drink.
He wanted to give them.
What?
They weren't married when.
But it was their father.
To give them away.
But it was
no,
their.
No, no, no.
Oh, late. That's correct. Yes. That's correct. Yes.
Do we know where Lot got his money from?
We have no idea. No indication. Could be from Avram. Maybe Haran left her a big Yerusha. I don't know. No idea. What? Probably, yes. Could be.
Those who hang out with you are going to be blessed.
That is very simple. You're 100% right. 100% right. Then, for a second, turn to page 6. Which is a Zohar on our pasuk. I'm not into Zohar, but I was. I know, but I'm still not into Zohar. I'm not into Zohar, but he says something here that I understood. So I can share it with you. I understood what he was trying to say.
Yeah, right.
The Zohar has a lengthy entry here. How do people react having engaged in difficult experiences of their life? So he's going to compare Noach versus Avram. What is Noach's reaction when he leaves the Teva? And Vayesh? Vayishkar? What? I'm not... The Zohar doesn't say that. It conveniently leaves that out. What are we told? What episode, the only episode we are told about Noach after the Teva, after the flood, is that he gets drunk. That's it. So that's one type of a reaction where you experience a calamity and you don't use that opportunity to raise your spiritual level. You don't use that. After all, that is what we firmly believe is the response that is required to every single challenge. We have no answers, no matter what anybody wants to say. No answers whatsoever to difficult questions. None whatsoever. Particularly when it involves children. No answers. No answers whatsoever. I had somebody a couple of weeks ago, I'm angry with the Rabban Yisrael. I understand that they're angry. I really do. Fully understand. And the Rabban Yisrael understands it also. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu a couple of times. He didn't rebuke him for getting angry. He rebuked him for having not enough patience. But not because he got angry at it. The challenge of always is, we're never going to know why, how we react and how we respond. And the Zohar is highlighting that Noah, having seen the mass destruction of the entire world, save his own family, his first response should be that we are told about, other than getting drunk. Tell me, without looking at the Zohar, what word in the chapter 13 is the Zohar going to emphasize to indicate us that Avram had a spiritual uplifting? Vayal, exactly. Not Vayelech or Vayisa. Vayal. So Rashi says, why does it say Vaya'al? Because we always perceive Israel is higher and all other lands are lower. That's why it's always called Vayered Mitzrayim. You're going down to Mitzrayim. It's also you're going south, so that's why you're going down. But you make Aliyah going to Eretz Yisrael. And you make Aliyah going to Eretz Yisrael, even if you're in a land that's topographically much higher than Israel, because spiritually it's always an aliyah. So here the emphasis on the pasuk having Avram having left Mitzrayim is Vaya'al Avram. We're going to share with you episodes which will indicate that Avraham somehow had a spiritual uplifting and improvement in himself going forward as a result of the negative encounter that he experienced in Mitzrayim. So says the Zohar. Let's just read it inside, then I'll take your questions. He says, Kinoach dikadnachat umata lahar darga, when Noach rested and came to that place, maksiv Vayesht min hayayin vayishkar, he drank from the wine. Vayitgal betocha halo, he was undressed or revealed naked in his tent. Ohalo ksiv behe, at the end, doesn't say ba'ohel, ba'ohalo, without a vav. Avu ba'avram maksiv vaya'al Avram mimitzrayim. The solik he left, v'lo nachis v'tav la'atrei l'darga ilah, di'it dabek ba'bikat misa. He did not remain on the same spiritual level that he had when he was before this. So the Zohar claims that the expression of vaya'al is indicative of the fact that it doesn't only mean a physical ascension, but a spiritual as well. We will now have to try to bear out, as we read the next couple of episodes with Avram, can we identify a character trait, an area where we see one type of behavior before Mitzrayim, and how he reacts differently post the Mitzrayim episode to support, or perhaps not support, the Zohar's comment. Yeah, question.
So I don't want to take away from what the Zohar is trying to teach us, because I can hear it. You have a challenge, try and uplift yourself.
Right.
But the first thing that Noach did was not drink. The first thing that
he was built a cart, Mizbeach.
Right. So
that was what Sharia
was.
I know.
And then went crazy over.
I grant you that. I grant you. It's being a little selective.
Yeah.
That's correct. He's playing with a text, and he's not lying, but he's not giving us the complete picture. That's correct. Now, it's not the
reaction to trauma.
It's not the
another reaction.
Right. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last time, that somebody doesn't paint a complete picture in trying to push their point across. Won't be the last. You're right. There's also, I hear that. That's a good point as well. I'm just telling you, I wanted to show you the Zohar. Somebody stops you in Glad Express or Cedar Market. Yeah, that's what the Zohar said. Yeah.
It also follows the Rambam again.
What?
It follows the Ma'aseh of the Sefer Hanukkah.
That they also stumbled in Mitzrayim many times. That's correct.
They were then lifted up
slowly. Correct, slowly. Yeah, slowly. Yes, from Mitzrayim. That's a good point. That's a good point. That the Jews followed that same route. They left Mitzrayim and slowly they improved spiritually as they moved out of Mitzrayim. It was a slow improvement. It took a long time.
2 years they managed to mess up.
A long time. All right, we'll stop here and we'll continue next to Vach.